Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi. Today we are going to cover Chapter 3, Understanding the Rural Business Context. The learning objective in this chapter, describe the characteristics of rural economies, learn about the key sectors and industries in rural area, understanding various challenges faced by rural businesses, know the difference between urban and rural supply chains, that is, get an idea of some practical examples of supply chain for rural businesses. Rural economies in India possess a unique characteristics that are indicative of their agricultural foundations, socioeconomic circumstances, and cultural environment. So basically, there is a difference between the urban and the rural economies. And as we said, it is characterized by the agricultural foundation. Agriculture being one of the major industries as far as the rural India is concerned. Also the socio-economic circumstances and the cultural environment, they are far different from the urban areas in India. So these characteristics collectively influence the dynamics of rural economies in India, underscoring both the challenges and opportunities for development. So what are the notable features, dominance of the agricultural sector, which we mentioned in the earlier slide? A considerable number of rural households depend on agriculture and related activities for their livelihood, utilizing a combination of traditional farming techniques and some contemporary methods. So people are involved in agriculture. It could be right from farming to harvesting to, let's say, grain separation or, you know, the downstream products. So they are directly, indirectly related to the agricultural supply chain. And coming to the farming technique, so we still have in India people who are doing the traditional farming with the traditional techniques, etc. We also have many places where people have, you know, started building greenhouses, etc., and adopting techniques, including, you know, like going for organic farming, etc. So you have a combination of both, but predominantly agricultural in nature. Varied sources of income. So in addition to agricultural practices, rural economies encompass a range of activities that enhance income diversity, including livestock management, artisanal craft, and small-scale manufacturing. So when we say agriculture, it's not simply growing crops, etc. It also can be, you know, forest products or, you know, products where you actually are collecting herbs, etc. The second part is the livestock. That means, you know, you are rearing poultry or, goats, cows, etc., milk, dairy business. So livestock management, basically. Artisanal craft, which could be handicrafts, metal craft. As you know, that there are certain parts of India where the crafting of metal into, you know, beautiful articles, etc., is very popular. And small scale manufacturing. So even you must have seen that, you know, pottery, blacksmithy, small equipment, you know, like sickle, etc. They are all manufactured in the rural areas, and that too, it is done by the traditional methods. Insufficient infrastructure. So numerous rural regions encounter difficulties, including inadequate transportation system, limited market access, and a shortage of healthcare and educational facility. Even there are other things like, you know, the availability of water or power. So in terms of infrastructure, rural areas are at a disadvantage, or they rather have a challenge in these areas. Cottage and handicraft industries. So traditional crafts and cottage industries are crucial to the economic stability of the rural areas, safeguarding cultural heritage while creating job opportunities. So we have seen that the GDP of certain regions or certain rural areas is dependent on their cottage industry and their handicraft industries. So if you look at Rajasthan, or there are parts of Madhya Pradesh, etc., where certain arts and crafts are very, very popular. And this is true for whole of India. So these arts are very unique, highly valued, and they also help in safeguarding the traditions, you know, and cultural heritage of the country or the region. Migration patterns, the movement of individuals, both seasonal and permanent, towards urban centers in search of improved employment opportunities is prevalent, influencing the local labor supply and family dynamics. So migration is another, you know, characteristics of the rural economy. In many places, you find that there is a migration of people during the lean season. During harvesting season, you find people come back to the rural area for the harvesting when there is a demand for labor. There are times when there is no demand for labor, which is where the people migrate to the metro cities. Also, you have people who are permanently migrating, because in certain areas, the opportunities are very limited and there are not enough opportunities for the population there. So there, people tend to move to the urban areas looking for better opportunities and better lifestyle. Collaborative initiatives. Cooperatives operating in industries such as dairy, agriculture, and handicraft enhance the negotiating strength and facilitate access to essential resources. So the collaborative initiative, the cooperatives are an excellent example. And mind you, they are not only in the dairy or the agriculture, because even in terms of floriculture, in terms of fruits, etc. So there are a lot of cooperatives which work in this area. There are some cooperatives which are very seasonal in nature. Like, for example, when you're talking of fruits, mangoes, etc., you find that certain cooperatives are active during a certain season, you know, which is the fruiting season for that particular area. Social structure. Rural economies are frequently shaped by the interplay of caste and community dynamics, which in turn impacts the availability of resources and opportunities. So we have seen, you know, that the pottery will be only a particular community which is heavily invested into the pottery, or brick making, or blacksmithy. So there are traditions which are carried on by certain communities, and these activities are then restricted to those communities itself. So this is another characteristic of the rural economy, where the caste or the community plays a role in the resources or the opportunity. Government schemes. So various government initiatives are designed to foster rural development, encompassing employment programs, financial inclusion efforts, and agricultural assistance. So the government has been making a lot of efforts in promoting, let's say, the local arts, crafts, even agriculture, financing, you know, the agricultural produce, herbal produce. I mean, there are even private sectors which are actually encouraging people to grow the cash crops, etc. So there are government schemes, and of course there are non-government schemes also, but here we are mainly talking of the government schemes which are to promote the rural economies. Market access. The ability to access market for the sale of agricultural products can be restricted, which adversely affects income and economic stability. So in the rural areas, they do not have the resources for market access in terms of the market reach. They normally will try and sell the produce to a local agent or a dalal kind of a thing, or at the most they will go to the nearest city and they will sell the produce there, because they don't have access to you know, many a times the logistics, the storage facility, or even the you know, outreach where they can directly connect with the consumers. So market access is one of the limitations in the rural economy. Technology adoption, the growing integration of technology, including mobile applications and digital platforms, is progressively reshaping rural livelihoods and improving the market accessibility. So some of the limitations we talked about are gradually changing thanks to some private enterprises. So with the availability of these tools, many of these rural economies are today having access to market. They are directly getting connected to the consumers so that they can get a better value for their produce. They are able to directly supply to the end consumer rather than supplying to a middleman. And that's how technology has been overcoming some of the limitations, and we'll see some of the examples as we go forward. So in conclusion, it can be stated that the rural economy in India represents a multifaceted and evolving system shaped by numerous elements such as agriculture, cultural practices, infrastructure, and social framework. So you can see these are the factors or features which are affecting the rural economy. So what we saw was that predominantly agriculture-based or livestock-based, and you know, cultural practice, we even saw the community, you know, which drives certain kind of businesses or skills or arts. Infrastructure, you know, availability of infrastructure and the social framework. So despite the existing challenges, continuous initiatives in technology integration, cooperative efforts and government assistance are focused on improving rural livelihoods and fostering sustainable development. So we have already seen how the government and private enterprises are trying to improve the livelihood of the rural people. The economy there is thriving, and this is mainly through technology and government initiatives. So key sectors and industries in the rural sector. Rural economies typically revolve around several key sectors and industries. So agriculture. This is the largest sector in India. As we all saw, at one point of time, agriculture was the mainstay of rural economy, contributing significantly to employment and a small extent to national GDP. It includes crop protection and livestock farming. So we saw that it also includes your poultry and even the animal rearing, which is covered under this particular initiative. Forestry, timber production, logging, and non-timber forest products like mushroom and medicinal plants. So we talked about the herbal producers, herbal extracts, spices, and many naturally grown you know, substances which come from the forestry. Fishing and aquaculture. So harvesting wild fish and shellfish, as well as farming fish and seafood in controlled environment. So this is also another major segment in the rural setup. Tourism. So ecotourism, agritourism, adventure tourism, and cultural tourism that attracts visitors to rural areas. Many of your cultural tourism, like in terms of temples or some historical sites, etc., are located in the rural area. Adventure tourism, which could be for hiking, trekking, agri-tourism. You have the flower valleys spread across India, where during the flowering season, a lot of people, you know, go there to see the flowers which are grown naturally, the natural beauty. So this is another industry in the rural segment. Craft and artisan goods. So production of handmade goods, textiles, pottery, and other artisanal products. Textile is very important because India is typified by, you know, the unique nature of textiles which are made in various regions. And every region has its own, you know, special kind of textiles or garments, etc. So this is one very important industry, and also because it fulfills the local requirement it's more of a necessity rather than a luxury kind of a thing. Renewable energy, so wind, solar, and biomass energy production, often utilizing local resources. You must have seen that wind energy, and this is mostly located in the rural areas. You will not see windmills, etc., in the urban area. So this is one of the key source and also maybe employment opportunity in the rural area. The other is the solar, because solar also requires huge open space, you know, where the panels can be set up, etc., which needs to be maintained, etc. Biomass energy will cover your biogas, etc., and also energy, you know, from waste, bio-waste, etc. So these require the local resources. Food processing, so this includes activities like rice milling, flour milling, pulse processing, and these are all related to agriculture. So they are the downstream processes for agriculture. This may also include local processing of agricultural products into value-added goods like jams, cheese, canned goods, etc. I have seen personally in rural areas that there are units which take the fresh fruit, they actually convert it into value-added products like juices, etc., canned juices, and then they market it to the city because the skilled labor for this kind of a thing is available there and they are very close to the source. So instead of transporting the material and extracting it in the cities, etc., they do it in the rural areas and only the finished product moves to the urban areas. Small-scale manufacturing, production of goods such as furniture, machinery and tools, often serving local markets. So we talked about the blacksmiths, you know, and making of the, the farming tools, etc. So you will find this happens predominantly in the rural areas and happens by the traditional methods. Some manufacturing, of course, there is a caveat to this because nowadays more and more mechanization is also coming in. So you will find that there are harvesters or tractors being used where, you know, you are using the implements and tools which are more factory manufactured. Some manufacturing establishments in rural areas process food, wood, and mining products. So we also talked about wood processing, the sawmills, etc. So you will find that these are mostly located in the rural areas so that you are doing the value addition at a low cost and you're not transporting the raw material, but the partially finished or semi-processed material. Same is the case with the mining products. Niche manufacturers have become a dominant economic driver in some rural areas. So niche manufacturers are, catering to very specific requirement, especially medicinal plants, herbs, etc., where they make or add value to products required by the organized industry. Transportation and logistics, services that support the movement of goods, including trucking and delivery services. So naturally, transportation and logistics, because even simple agri-produce or vegetables, etc., these need to be transported. And especially when we are talking of fruits and vegetables, these are perishable in nature. So transportation and logistics plays a very crucial role here in transporting the material to the markets while they are fresh. Real estate and construction. So development of housing and infrastructure to support rural communities and industry. Obviously, rural areas also require housing, healthcare facilities, other infrastructures, etc. So real estate and construction forms an integral part of the rural economy. Healthcare services, local clinics and health facilities that provide essential services to the population, rural population. So these sectors contribute to the economic foundation of rural areas, often intertwined with cultural and community aspects that enhance their sustainability and growth. And we have seen how these are so useful and essential for the rural economies. So understanding functions of the supply chain in the context of the rural business. So as a first example, we will see a brick making unit. So in a brick making unit, let's say located in a rural area, the key function in its supply chain are as below. So one is the raw material procurement. So here it will be sourcing of clay, sand, water, and any additives required for brick production. You require a specific type of clay. You require, sand, because it cannot be entirely clay. You require also a source of water for making of the bricks, etc. Production planning, so scheduling production based on the demand forecast and resource availability. It may not be very sophisticated, but even there, you know, they have a system of planning the production. Also, there may be a certain season, like for example, during monsoon, you cannot bake the bricks. So they will plan the production in such a way that they have enough stock of bricks made during the dry months to cater to any demand during the wet months. Manufacturing, the actual process of molding, drying, and firing the bricks. Quality control, ensuring the bricks meet quality standards through testing and inspection. That means, it may not be very elaborate, but they will certainly look at whether the bricks are not cracked or not broken. Also, in terms of the strength, whether they are baked correctly or not. So this is carried out again by the people running the business. Inventory management, managing stock levels of raw material and finished product to optimize production and minimize the waste. So as we said, they also look at the seasonality, both in terms of demand and in terms of feasibility of the production. That means during monsoon, they cannot fire the bricks. So they will fire the bricks and maintain an inventory which will carry them through the monsoon. Packaging, preparing bricks for storage and transportation, which may include stacking and wrapping. If you look at the traditional clay bricks, there is no packing. Normally they are stacked even during transportation, etc. Yes, when you're looking at some of the branded products, there may be a certain amount of packing to protect the material during transportation from damage. Transportation, distributing raw material to the production site and delivering finished bricks to the customer. So although it may be primitive, there does exist a logistics even in getting the clay, the sand, etc. to the kiln where the manufacturing of the bricks take place. Sales and distribution, so managing orders, customer relationship, and sales strategies to reach local markets. Although in terms of bricks, they may not directly be selling to the builders or the developers, they may be selling it again to some middlemen who are a major supplier of building material to the actual construction people. Waste management, handling byproducts and waste material from the production process in an environmental friendly or a sustainable manner. So while they are making the bricks, they are also screening the clay or the sand, to ensure that the particle size is uniform. So in case there are larger particles or very fine particles, etc., which may be discarded or which may be blended suitably so as not to generate the waste. But there could be some aspect or some materials which may not find use in the manufacturing, which may have to be disposed of. Maintenance and support, ensuring machinery and equipment are properly maintained to minimize the downtime. So like for making the bricks, etc., it could be a manual process where you are using wooden molds, or it could be metal molds, etc., or it could be simple machinery, mechanized, which are used to actually make the brakes, etc. So maintenance and support for the equipment is being ensured. Financial management, overseeing the budget, cost control, and financial reporting. Generally, in a rural economy, this will be very primitive, but nevertheless, it is there. In a more organized setup, you will find that these are more as per the management practices. Human resource management, recruiting, training, managing the workforce involved in the production and operations. So when we are talking of bricks, normally, again, this is a community kind of a business where the family is at work, and beyond the family, the community will be helping. So whenever they require additional labor, people from the community will be coming and supporting. A similar thing is with the agriculture, where the people from the community will join in during the harvest period, and they are paid wages for the period and based on the output that they have. So each of these functions plays a critical role in the overall efficiency and effectiveness of the brick making unit. So we just saw one example of a very basic kind of a rural industry.